I was thinking this week about middle school. Yeah. You're like, why would you do that to yourself? Thinking about middle school. And I went to Lynnview Middle School in Kingsport, Tennessee. And let's go, Tennessee. Go Vols. Finally got a football team again. It only took 20 years, but finally got one. And so Lynnview Middle School, Kingsport, it's Upper East Tennessee. It's a little small town, borders Virginia. Gate City was the next big town over. You don't know nothing about that. Coal mining town. Anyways, so grew up in Kingsport, went to Lynnview, and we had football games. And after the football game, we had dances. And all the football games were on Friday nights, and it's all you had to do in town, so that's what you went to. And so we went to the dance afterwards, but it really wasn't a dance. It was more like a standoff. It was like all the guys were holding up one wall and all the girls were holding up the other wall. You know what I'm saying? Like, and nothing was happening in the middle. And so I remember one middle school dance that I finally got the courage to go up and ask this girl if she could dance. And and that was a really big deal for me because I grew up in a very traditional church, and so I was fighting all these things. You know, I grew up in the church where you didn't dance because dancing could lead to premarital sex. Y'all follow me? And so I was like, I don't even know if I'm supposed to ask anyone to dance, but I'm going for it. Mom and Dad aren't here. And I don't dance. All I do is slow dance. This is it, guys. I just rock. I'm like Hitch. I just right here. This is it right there. Like, that's all you got. I am white to the bone when it comes to dancing, but not when it comes to preaching. And so, all I had was a slow dance. Finally got the courage up, went over to make the request, and got the big rejection, the long walk back. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a major setback. Are y'all following me? Have you ever had a setback in life? Yes, you. Isn't it interesting about setbacks in life is that you can feel like you're doing well in so many areas, but you can feel like you're failing in one area, and it makes it feel like you're failing in every area. Does that make sense? Like you could winning in so many areas of life, but you got one area of life you're not winning in, and it feels like every area is a loss. And I want you to know that that a setback is exactly what's happening in the text that we just read in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. The Bible says that Peter is in prison, but the church is praying. And the church is experiencing a major setback in this moment. And I want to give you context. So come to school with me. If you're with me, say amen. If you're new to church, like we talk back and forth. If you amen, it makes it a whole lot more interesting and engaging. And you know, just amen, preach it. That's really good. Just don't say anything discouraging, all right? That would be helpful. So here's the context of what's happening is obviously the church is new. Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, or it's kind of the story of the first century church, the birth of the church, this brand new thing that's happening. And Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and Luke is a physician. So Luke's a pretty sharp guy, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. You really could put them together and read them as one kind of big book. And so Luke has written Acts, and he's kind of given us some of the big wins of the New Testament church. I mean, they're having some major victories. Like, you know, you kick off, Peter preaches, 3,000 people come to faith in one day, not over one year, in one day. And that's like the birth of the first church. And so if you don't enjoy big churches, one, you'll hate heaven, but you would have hated that first church because it was really large. Are you with me? And hopefully heaven's going to be really large, right? I mean, we want a lot of people there. I said we want a lot of people there. Okay, just making sure I'm in the right church today. And so they're having all these major wins, but then Acts chapter 12 tells us about a major setback because verse 1-4 lets us know that James has been killed by Herod. And James, this is not James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. This is James, the brother of John. But he's also a major leader in the New Testament church. And so this brand new kind of fledgling thing called the church, these followers of Jesus, they're having some advancement. They're trying to get leadership structure in place. And James is a major player in the church. And James has just been killed, and he's been killed by Herod. Are y'all with me so far? Now, this isn't the Herod that was around whenever Jesus was born and tried to have all the little babies killed that were under two. That's not that Herod, but this is that Herod's grandson. Are y'all tracking with me still? So that was Herod. This is Herod Agrippa. Okay, I know we're going to school a little bit. Some of you note takers are really excited. The rest of you are like, can you get onto something interesting, please? But I want to give you this context to understand. And the reason that Herod is killing James and imprisoning Peter is because he's trying to win favor with the Jews. So he is the king currently, but he's a little bit of an illegitimate king because he wasn't born a Jew. He converted to Judaism, but according to the law, to really be the king, you have to like be born into a Jewish family. Are y'all following with me so far? So he does anything he can to kind of win favor with the Jews because he's a little bit of an illegitimate king, but he's king even so. Does that make sense? Say amen if you're with me. And so he saw whenever he killed James that the Jews were like, they were all about that. And that really gained some favor. So he's like, well, I'm gaining momentum on this thing. So I'm gonna go after Peter now, who is another major leader in the church. And so he imprisons him, but he imprisons him during a Jewish celebration, a week of celebration. So he's holding that till the end and he's gonna bring him up to trial and most likely murder him as well. And so two major leaders in the church would be gone in the moment. And so the night before, this is about to happen the next morning, we come into the story, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter is in prison, but the church is praying. There's power when the church prays. And this phrase like really caught my attention because the Bible says Peter was in prison, but the church was praying. And some of you are like, okay, Pastor, you said that a few times. Do you have anything more? But can I go a little word nerd for you a minute? The word but there isn't the preposition but, it's a conjunction word. Sometimes I have to show I'm educated. My mom watches. A preposition is supposed to show, from my understanding, I'm not a huge grammar person, but I did look this up, supposed to show the relation to something, but a conjunction shows the contrast between two things. I would go as far as to say the church was showing the contradiction between two things. Peter is in prison, and the text could have said, and the church was mourning. Peter was in prison and the church was worried. Peter was in prison and the church was deciding who would do his funeral and who would make the arrangements for the whole thing. Are you following me? Like that would have been the natural flow of many of us and many churches today. Peter was in prison and the church had gone underground, but the church in Jerusalem decided, no, we're gonna be the contradiction to what the current circumstance is. Here's what I want to tell you at 2023. I want to encourage you to be a walking contradiction. I want you to be a walking contradiction. I feel overwhelmed, but the peace of God that passes understanding will fill my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's already started off bad this year, but I serve the God of the breakthrough. Is anybody with me today? I want you to be the walking contrast to it. Peter is in prison, but the church decided to pray. And here's the deal, you get the choice this year. You get the choice just to succumb to circumstance or to determine I'm gonna be a walking contradiction. The circumstance around me may be rough. The picture that is being painted right now may not be favorable. The situation I'm currently dealing with, well, am I just supposed to put on rose-colored glasses and not? No. I'm gonna be a walking contradiction. I'm gonna determine, I'm gonna believe the word of the Lord and not just believe everything that I'm seeing or everything that I'm hearing. I'm gonna believe what has God said, what has God said I should do. Peter was in prison and the church could have responded a whole lot of different ways, but it said they prayed. But if you believe there's no power in prayer, you won't pray. So it not only lets us know that the church decided that we're gonna contradict the current situation, maybe even contradict our emotions, because I'm sure there was some worry. I'm sure there was some concern. James had just been murdered. There was no doubt it went through their mind. They're probably gonna do this to Peter as well. But they determined, no, I'm gonna make the choice that I'm gonna pray. I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to pray. Why? Because they knew there was power in prayer. And so whenever tough times came, the church went to battle. But they didn't go to battle with the way that the world goes to battle. They knew they were fighting a spiritual battle. And can I tell you, some of us, we are trying to fight spiritual battles with worldly weapons, and you will never win. We're trying to fight battles and we don't realize everything in your life is spiritual. You are a spiritual being having an earthly experience, and everything about your earthly experience has a spiritual component. And if you don't learn to fight that battle this year with spiritual weapons, and prayer is your spiritual weapon. They believe prayer was fruitful. They believe prayer was powerful. They believe prayer, the effectual fervent prayer, would accomplish something. So they went to praying. And some of us think, oh, it's just like throwing words out in the air. No, no, no. The Bible says that the effectual or fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. It accomplishes something. Because when you work, you do the best you can do. When you pray, it's the best God can do. And there's a big difference in the two. They went to battle in prayer. It says that they earnestly prayed. The word earnest there, Luke uses another time, and he uses it in the book of Luke whenever he's talking about how Jesus prayed in the garden, where great drops of blood came from his forehead. Are y'all with me? Said he earnestly prayed. There was a passion to his prayer. There was some volume to the prayer. Are y'all following me? There was some intensity to the prayer. It wasn't personality. It was desperation. It wasn't just, well, I'm Presbyterian. The Pentecostals are loud. Presbyterians are quiet. No, it was. There's something happening in my life that I need God to intervene in my situation, and so I'm going to earnestly pray. And I would propose, and probably if we surveyed everybody, there's some situations in your life that you would go, no, I need God to intervene. I've done the best that I can do, and it's come up short, and I need God to intervene. Can I tell you something? When you earnestly pray, whenever it's the kind of prayer where Jacob said, God, I'm not letting go of you until something changes in my life. I'm telling you, it's that kind of prayer that God responds to, and God moves in your situation. Why are we doing 21 days of prayer? So we can earnestly pray. So we can say, God, would you move? God, would you do what only you can do, what we can't do? What we can never accomplish. They prayed. They went to battle in prayer. It says Peter was in prison, but the church prayed. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but prayer is you coming into agreement with God to see God move in your life. Agreement is a powerful thing. Matthew says that whenever two come into agreement, whenever they have this same opinion, whenever they come in unity, it says God hears and God moves. The problem is some of us have come into agreement with everything the enemy in the world has told you. You've come into agreement. And you may not say it this way, but in your heart, you've come into agreement. You've adopted the opinion of everybody else around you. You've adopted the opinion of what the world is feeding you. You've adopted the opinion of what your feed is showing you. You've adopted the opinion of what the news is telling you. Everything is bad. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. You've adopted the opinion, I can never break out of this. This relationship will always be this way. I'll never get healing. I'm always going to struggle with this addiction. And you can tell it in the words you say, because some of you, and I'm not trying to beat up on you, listen to me, I'm just wanting you to break this agreement in your life. Some of you, you call things yours. My addiction, my anxiety. Who said that was yours? My bad marriage, my lack of discipline, why are you coming into agreement with what the enemy has spoken over your life? Did God say that was your addiction? Did God say that was your anxiety? Did God say your marriage had to end like that? Did God say you had to be purposeless in this life? Why are you calling it yours? I'm not saying it's not in your life. I'm not saying it's not a struggle in your life, but I'm gonna come into agreement and go, no, it's my peace. It's my hope. I'm claiming it for mine. No, the peace of God that passes understanding will fill my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. No, he's got good plans for me. They're to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. No, I will live to tell the goodness of God in the land of the living. I will live and I will not die. I am the head and I'm not the tail. I am the first and not the last. My God will prosper me. Some of you need to break agreements. You've come into agreement. Listen, you've come into agreement with the wrong things. Stop agreeing with the devil. Is this too much on the first day of the year? I'm just coming out of the gate, y'all. I'm playing games. Why are you agreeing with the enemy? Why are you agreeing with words of death spoken over your life? Why are you agreeing with what your ex said about you and you're still believing it? Why are you agreeing with what the devil's telling you? You'll be single the rest of your life. You're not valuable. Nobody wants you. Why are you coming into agreement with that? Well, it's what I see. Faith isn't about what you see. It's about what he said. You've got to learn to get your eyes off of what you see and get it on what he said. And when I pray, I come into agreement with God. When I pray the word of God, I come into agreement with God. Why is it so powerful when the church prays? Because it gets you in agreement with the right thing. How will you know if you will follow the will of God this year? Get into agreement with God. How do you know if you'll be heading in the direction God wants you to head in this year? Get in agreement with God. How do I get in agreement with God? I get in agreement with God with his word when I'm praying, when my heart is getting aligned. Are you following me? Why do we do this at the beginning of the year? I'm trying to get you in agreement. You get in agreement with so many wrong things throughout the year. I'm wanting to get your heart in agreement with the word of God. Prayer gets you in agreement with God. See, you need to break agreements. I'm not adopting the opinion of the enemy. I'm not adopting the opinion of the world. I'm not adopting the opinion of my broke aunt that ain't anything. Some of y'all adopting opinions. Listen, stop adopting the opinions of people whose lives you don't want. Somebody said, well, so-and-so said this to me the other day. I said, do you want their life? Then why are you listening to their advice? Y'all with me? Stop adopting the opinions of the world. Adopt God's. I'm going to come into agreement with what God has said. And prayer does that. So the church was praying. But the church wouldn't have needed to pray if Peter wasn't in prison. I wanted to get you shouting first before I got to this part. Because I'm about to suck all the shout out the room. The pain of prison set the church on the purpose of prayer. It was the pain of prison that set them on the purpose of prayer. It moved the church to pray. It moved them to pray earnestly. It moved them to pray in a significant way. It spurred them towards prayer. And so I'm not wanting to to say that if you come to 21 days of prayer, you'll have a pain-free life. I'm saying that the pain you're facing may be the very thing that elevates your faith to the place God wants to take you. And isn't it amazing how two people can enter the same situation and come out different? That people can walk through the same thing and come out completely different on the other side. Why? Because it's all about how you respond to the pain. It's how you respond to the circumstance, how you respond to the difficulty. It's how you respond to the situation. And some people, pain causes them to get stuck, and some, it causes them to earnestly pray. And I'm just wanting to challenge you in this season that it would cause you to earnestly pray, that you wouldn't get stuck in the prison. Because when the pressure comes on, what is in comes out. When the pressure came on the church, what was in the church came out. And what came out was they earnestly prayed. I would hope that would be the response of our church. That when the pain come in, when the pressure comes on in our lives, that we don't run to complaining first. We don't run to anger first. We don't run to gossip first. That we don't run to stressing about it first. That we don't run underground first. That we don't isolate first. But the first thing we do is that we run and we go, no, we're going to rally and pray. That we're going to rally and pray. We're going to believe God to do something. And it'll either paralyze you or you'll run to God in prayer. And some of you, you've been paralyzed for 2 years now. 3 years, a decade. Something happened and it paralyzed you and you kind of got stuck in time. And I'm just telling you, you can get unstuck. And it happens in prayer. Faith begins to build in prayer. It may start out as dry and as faithless as anything you've ever heard. Are y'all with me? I'm just telling you, there's been moments where I've just come and I've prayed because I knew it was the right thing to do, not because I felt it, not because there was full of faith in me, not because like, God, I'm coming to agreement with your word. I'm believing. None of that. It was, I'm here. That's all I got. But I showed up again. And I showed up again. And I showed up again. Are y'all following me? There's been some 21 days of prayer where day one I was like, I'm here. I don't want to pray for nobody else. I got enough things I'm worried about right now. But you show up again and you show up again. And what happened where you were paralyzed, all of a sudden you get to your hands, you get feeling back in your hands. Are you following me? And all of a sudden you get feeling back in your arms. I'm just saying you start to get feeling back in your faith and you keep showing up and you keep praying and you begin to build faith in the moment, but you got to keep showing up and showing up and showing up. The church was under great pressure. James had been killed. Peter was in prison. He was about to be killed. And what did they do? They prayed. But I also want you to notice, if I could flip the camera view for a minute, that Peter was under a lot of great pressure. Here's what the Bible says. It says in verse 6, I wasn't just going to preach one verse all day. It says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and two sentries stood guard at the entrance. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter on the side. He kicked him, or he hit him. And he woke him up and he said, quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. And then the angel said to him, put on your cloak and sandals. And Peter did so. And he wrapped his cloak around him. And he was kind of in between awake and asleep. You know that little space in between awake and asleep? Some of you are there now. I hope not. He said, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And the angel told him, and Peter followed him out of prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening, and he thought he was seeing a vision. That's where I say he's between waking and asleep. He didn't know what was happening. And verse 10 says, they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and it opened by itself, and they went through it, and then he walked the length of one street, and suddenly the angel left him. He was like, I got you this far. You go ahead, Peter. You got to figure it out from here on. So Peter was under pressure too. The Bible says he was tied to two guards. He was in between a rock and a hard place. He was chained in between two guards. I wonder if you've ever felt that. So the church is under pressure and they prayed. Peter's under pressure and he sleeps. He's between two things. He's between two pressures. I don't know if you ever felt this in life, like it's not one thing. It's layered. It's multiple things. It's fear and it's anxiety. It's hopelessness and it's stress. It's lack of direction and it's lack of peace. It's between multiple things. It's not that clean. It's not that easy as sometimes the church wants to make it. Was right or wrong? No, sometimes it's hurt and betrayal. It's pain and it's hopelessness. I know y'all are all spiritual. You're up on the first day of church. Some of us walk through real life and it's layered and it's multiple. And the Bible says that in the middle of that, what is Peter's response? He's sleeping. The church is praying. Peter's sleeping. Peter's got a peace in the middle of prison. Peter knows that he's probably going to be killed in the morning, and Peter is sleeping, chained in between two guards. He's not anxious. He's not worried. He's not stressed. He's not depressed. He's got no NyQuil, no Xanax. Peter's sleeping. Why? Because there's a peace about Peter. There's a rest about Peter. God didn't remove the guards yet. God hasn't set him free yet. God hasn't delivered him from the situation, but Peter is sleeping in the middle of the situation. Why? Because the church is praying and Peter has a peace. Peter knew something that a lot of us forget sometime whenever life comes on top of us. And what is it? It's this. It's that God is already in his tomorrow. So Peter didn't know what would happen tomorrow. He didn't know, is God going to deliver me? He didn't know, is God going to, an angel going to show up? He had no idea of any of that. But what he did know is that God was already in his tomorrow. And if he served a God that was big enough to be in his tomorrow and in his today, then why would he worry about tomorrow? And why would he stress about tomorrow? Because the God that is with him today has already gone before him into all of his tomorrows. I just want to say to you this year that when you are in the mid between pain and hurt and stress and anxiety and hopelessness, and because I'm just telling you, things are going to come this year. Life is going to happen this year, but you can have a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that makes the world look at you funny. Why? Because the God that you serve is already in your tomorrow. And the Bible says that in the middle of Peter sleeping, that the angel of the Lord shows up and he comes to get Peter out. And I want you to know this, that Peter was in prison, the church was praying, and Peter was delivered. Watch this. Peter didn't escape. Peter was delivered. Say that again. He did not escape. He was delivered. Some of us don't turn to prayer because when we can figure out a way to escape this situation and then we call it God. We manipulate it. We buy our way out of it. We network our way out of it. We arrange relationships and circumstances, situations, and we go, look what God did. No, you did that. That's called escaping it. And if you can escape it, you can get back in it. But when God delivers you, nobody can take away what God has done in your life. I'm praying in these 21 days, not that you escape a situation. Well, God got me out by the skin of my teeth. No, I'm praying God delivers you, that God himself causes you to walk right by the guards, right out the gate, puts you out on the path to freedom. There's a big difference between escaping and delivering. God delivered him. Peter was in prison, the church was praying, but God delivered him. I'm praying that God does some things in your life in this season that only God can do. I don't have the faith for it. Well, you're in a church that does. You're in a praying church, a believing church. And the same God that delivered Peter, the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that took out a giant with a small stone, the same God that fed 5,000 with some bread and fish, the same God that delivered Peter, the same God that sent his only son to die on a cross and pay for the sins of the world and then had the power to get him back out up out of the grave and come to life 3 days later, is the same God that is working today in this moment and can work in your life. Well, Pastor, I don't see God working. Well, the church didn't either. Because while they were praying, God wasn't talking to them. God was sending an angel to Peter. And just because you don't see God moving doesn't mean that God isn't working on your behalf. Just because you don't see God, just because God isn't giving you the 411 on how he's orchestrating everything, doesn't mean that God isn't speaking to the angel and sending him down to go work and orchestrate the situation on your behalf. And the Bible tells us that Peter escaped and he showed up at the door. I don't have time to read it today. And I should have known the first Sunday of the year, I hadn't preached in 2 weeks, that I would go long. The Bible goes on to tell us that Peter showed up at the door and he knocked on the door and the servant girl went to answer the door and she heard Peter's voice and she ran back to the people and didn't even answer the door or open it for him and said, hey, Peter's here at the front door. What we've been praying for, earnestly praying for, calling on heaven. And they go, you've got to be crazy. These giants of the faith didn't believe that God had answered their prayer. Isn't that us? They said it must be a ghost. That's important because in that culture, what they believed is that after someone had died, their ghost would remain for a little bit. And they said, he must already be dead and you're seeing his ghost. And Peter kept knocking. And they came back in and let him in and he calmed everybody down and he told them what had happened. Here's all I want to say to you is when the church prays, don't be surprised when God answers. Come on, do you receive the word today? Next 21 days, the church is going to pray. And when we do, don't you dare be surprised when God answers. On your way out today, you're going to get a bracelet that looks like this, says, when the church prays. I want you to wear it as a reminder that Peter may be in prison, but the church is praying. I may have got a diagnosis I don't want, but the church is praying. We may be fighting again, and I slept on the couch last night, and she slept, but the church is praying. I took another hit, promised myself I'd never do it. The church is praying. And when the church prays, God moves. And when God moves, don't be surprised when Peter gets delivered. Come on, do you receive the word today? Every head bowed, every eye closed, all over the room. God has a way of tailoring a message and speaking right to your need and what you're going through. And today, maybe what you need in your life is a relationship with Jesus, a real, authentic, personal relationship with Jesus. Not religion, not church, but the first step of your year, the first prayer you need to pray is, God, save me. God, rescue me. God, change me. And God will do it. So in just a moment, we're going to pray together. We're going to ask God, God, forgive, God, cleanse. God does that. He said, I'll forgive you of all your sin. I'll give you a brand new beginning, a fresh start. He said, if you'll confess me as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, he said, you'll be saved. You have a brand new beginning. If anybody is in Christ, a brand new creation. Today can be the day of a brand new beginning. So in just a moment, we're going to pray. Before we do that, no one's going to come to you, point you out, embarrass you in any way, but I just want to know who I'm praying with, our campus pastors at every location. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I need a fresh start today. I want to know my sins are forgiven. I want to know heaven is my home. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life today. If that's you, when I count to three, I just want you to shoot your hand up high enough, long enough for me to see or your campus pastor to see. And then we're going to pray together. So on three, this is your moment. It's the prayer you need to start the year with. You just shoot your hand up on three. One, two, three. You just shoot up high enough, long enough. God bless you. Keep them up. I see you in the very back. God bless you all over the room. You can put them down. Incredible. Church, let's pray this out loud together for the benefit of those who just slipped their hand up. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made that decision.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.